All right. Thank you again for being here tonight. We are in our discipleship book. We are looking at the chapter on giving. We started it last time. I believe it's chapter number 7. Look in there. Before that, I do want to give you an update each week, month. I want to give you an update how the building giving is going along. And I want to thank you for your faithfulness to your weekly and your monthly giving. It'll get a lot more important as we get into building. We should be, hopefully, if things go well, could be within a month or so, but we're really looking forward to just knocking that out, a lot of finished work. We're not going to do a lot of the work ourselves, but there are some small things that we can do, easier type things we can do that everyone that we do, like if we go in there and have a day where we hang drywall, I think they get paid by the sheet. And so every sheet we hang, we save money. And so we'll do a little bit of that. But this month in August, the giving was at 82% of what was promised, down a little bit from what it was. But I know people are out on vacation and school bills and stuff. But let's just make sure that we stay faithful to it, because when we start building, we're gonna hit the thing running. And really, a lot of the building's done. I think we saw it during the building campaign. We walked through there and saw it. And so I'm very, very excited for us to get into the rest of the building. We were talking the other day, looking at a few things related to Sunday school classes and stuff. And to be honest, we have this building and two classrooms, but we're still going to have outside Sunday school. We still have you bring your children in; they're meeting outside under the under a tent, and so we're looking forward to when those days are history. Okay. And we've done it now for, actually, you ain't kidding, 33 years. We've done it every year. Okay, our first Sunday school class, we met in the balcony of the old church, of the church we rented the first week. And next thing you know, we're outside across the street meeting on the stairs of Whittier Grade School. And then we split the class in half. My wife got the stairs, and she must have won the rock, paper, scissors. And I was meeting in the van, stuffing all the teenage boys in the van, and then we put them everywhere. It's a problem. But we're looking forward to that. So let's keep up with it. Let's be faithful. And when the building starts, if we have work days, and join in and just continue to pray that we get this done. We're talking about giving in the book, chapter number 7. I believe after this we have two more chapters left. Of course, we mentioned last time, which was probably the beginning of August, how the Bible speaks much about finances. I'm glad the Bible is, and I almost said it, but it's not true. It's more than a spiritual book. No, it is a spiritual book. But it talks about every different areas of life that we may not equate with spirituality. And every area of our life, if you're a Christian, in some way interrelates with your spiritual life. And so it's very important that we understand that, and finances is one of them. We talked firstly about the principle of giving. We talked about how even Christians struggle with it. And then God has taught us key principles that can help us. We looked at the fact that God is the provider of all that we have. It all comes from Him. God desires simply that we are faithful in our stewardship. God wants us to glorify Him in everything we do. And really, God wants us to defeat a competing God, okay? Money is a competing God. It's not, we think of idols, a piece of wood, we think of this, that, or whatever, believing some false type of religion. But the fact of the matter is, one of the biggest gods there is money, okay? And that's just the fact of the matter. And then we started looking at the importance of giving. We talked about how God gives us the percentage in giving. That percentage is the tithe, and the tithe just clearly means 10%. God gives us the priority of giving. We looked at the principle of first fruits. God gets His first. God gives us the place of giving. The New Testament example in giving was that it was done through the local church. The Old Testament, they gave it to the place where they worshiped, the temple. And God gave us the purpose of giving. The purpose of giving is to meet the needs of the church. Now, this is new. God gives us, and He helps us out, which is a good thing. God gives us the promise of giving. Promise. Attached with God's command to give, for us to be givers, there's a promise attached to that. And I believe there's a reason why. Sometimes when people tell us something that seems to be too good to be true, we may ask them to prove it, right? You know a little phrase, don't tell me, show me. Everybody talks a good game. Years and years ago, I used to coach all of our sports teams, and we'd get some new student in the school, like, oh, you coach volleyball? I was a good volleyball player in my school. Usually when they told me that, that meant they stunk. I never had one come in and say, I know how to play. I'm going to help you out. And like, hey, they actually can play. Usually it's the other way around. The ones that come out and say, hey, can I try out for the game? And usually they're good. Okay? But people talk a lot. Well, God gives us a promise. He shows us what happens when we give. The problem is we have a natural lack of trust, especially when it comes to something that just can become so intertwined in our life as money. And God kind of has to help us. If we don't deal with our money correctly and our attitudes about money, we don't chip those away or pry them out of the way, we're going to have problems later on in life. God knew that money can have such a hold on us that God asked us to put him to the test. This is really the only place in the Bible where he says, test me. Go ahead, prove me. God doesn't have to prove himself to anybody. Okay, you want proof of God? Look around you. Look at this world. He's God. But God, in his grace and in his desire maybe to encourage us, he didn't have to. He says, go ahead, put me to the test. Look at Malachi 3:10. When he talks about tithing, he says, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you to the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. How many of you ever got a job somewhere where they didn't make you full-time right away, you had to prove yourself? How do you remember that? They're usually called union shops. I got a job at a warehouse. It was a union shop. They paid really good. And they're like, you're on probation for 90 days. And it's like, you can't, in fact, the guys on probation didn't even get to work on Fridays. So you only get to work 4 days a week and you got to prove yourself. Now, my goal was to prove myself. And by the way, it wasn't hard with the characters that were working there. And after 2 weeks, they said, forget it. You're full time. Come in all the time. But they just want to see. They used to always joke around and say, we have to be real careful, because if not, after the 90 days, on days 91, they're full-time and they're in the union, they slow down a lot. Yeah. So they would check you out to make sure that you were working. They wanted you to prove yourself. God says, look, you can prove me in this area of giving. God gave us a promise, and he says he'll pour out his blessing on us if we give. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. He says, honor the Lord with thy substance, what you have, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. By the way, when you give, you don't give to God later on. You give to God first. That's the first fruits. When they gave in the Old Testament, whether it was their crops, whatever it was, they gave the first of what they got, and then the rest was for them. That's what God, by the way, it takes no faith to give to God if you see what I have left over and just give him a little bit of that. That doesn't take any faith. We had a lot of people whose faith grew during our building campaign. Why? They gave money that they may not have necessarily had or what was going to make them a little bit tight or a little bit uncomfortable, and they gave it anyhow. God's honored by that. Verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, God's not promising you're going to be rich, okay? This whole wealth and health doctrine is garbage. By the way, someone should have told Paul that. I guess Paul was not a very good Christian. He didn't have faith. No, that's a bunch of nonsense, okay? But God does take care of you when you give. God does bless you in so many different ways. When we honor God in this way, he honors his word and blesses us. So we can look at it in this sense. God gave allowances for the struggles that we may have to give. And I'll say this. For some people, even tithing is not that tough a thing. Now, not that you're not... Not that you're not, you know, giving of your money and your budget's tighter. I'm not saying that, but you know what I'm saying. You can still tithe and give, and you can look at it, and your bills are going to be paid. But for some people, it's really tight. And we go through different phases, and it's just nice to know that God's like, look, I'm here. And I'm not just telling you to do this. I'm saying you could test me. Because I know this. God will always pass the test. And if the area of giving is hard for you to understand or commit to, we went through this probably 2 months ago when we had our tithing challenge Sunday. Take the tithe challenge. Commit to tithe for a certain amount of time, say 90 days, and see if God, put God on probation. If God passes, then bring him into the union, I guess, right? And then on day 91, he'll quit. And see if God does not bless you and take care of you. By the way, I know this. Obedience to God never brings regret. I know a lot of people that have regretted not giving, not obeying God. They usually find out after the fact. But I know that obedience to God never brings regret. And in this area, God says he will take care of you. Now, that's not based on my word, right? And I always mention every year when we talk about the tithing challenge that there was a church in San Diego, the pastor used to say, look, you can tithe for 90 days, come back, or it may have been 6 months. And he said, come back after 6 months, and if you feel God did not bless you and you're a first-time tither, we'll give you all your money back. Now, he said no one ever came back. You know why? Because the Bible is right, it's clear as day on that. And so, tithing. Now, let's look at the results of giving. Those results of giving. Not only is giving an act of obedience, and it's a sign of trust in God, it also has tangible results for those who give. God in his grace blesses us for his obedience in this area. And I'm not saying this. I'm not saying we give to get. I'm not saying that. Okay? We give because we love God, and we give because he tells us to. But I'll tell you this, it is just like God to bless us anyhow. It's just like God to say, I understand it's a sign of obedience. I understand it's what I'm telling you to do, but you know what? I'm going to bless you anyhow. And he does. What do we get? Well, we already said it. The first thing is we gain great blessing. Great blessing. The picture here is not just of blessing, but of great blessing. More than we can receive. Obedience always brings blessings. It never brings regret, but it always brings blessings. He said, the verse again, prove me now there with the Lord of hosts. And if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You see the picture there? He says, I'm going to go over and I'm going to open the window of heaven so it's wide open and I'm going to throw those blessings out on you. God blesses us. By the way, you know, when our children do things they're supposed to do, when our children are, you know, when they do something that's outside of themselves, it's not selfish, don't we want to bless them for that? Yeah. Don't we want to rejoice with them? Like, wow, they're not being selfish. They're not thinking about themselves. Why wouldn't God bless us when it's a matter of trust and we're showing our trust? And by the way, they're showing trust in a time when materialism is everywhere. And everybody lives for things, and here's someone that's willing to go against the grain because of the promises of God. Why wouldn't God bless that? That's just like him, isn't it? Yeah. Luke 6:38 says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Now, here's how he gives. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. You see that? You know how you put it in there and you throw stuff in something and it's filling up and you'll shake it so that it'll go down and you can put more in there? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, Pastor Esposito used to always say when he talked about this verse, he says, it's not like a potato chip bag, right? You open up a potato chip bag and it's 80% air. I kid you not. I have a picture on my phone somewhere. We went to, it's a good place, Pizza Mania, right by our house. Just when I say the word, I want to smile. Pizza Mania. And I got a sandwich, and they give you a little bag of chips with the sandwich. And I kid you not, I have a picture on my phone to prove it. I opened it up, and it was all air. There was not one potato chip. So I think I took a picture and I posted it on Instagram and I tagged Lay's potato chips like, hey, got a bag of air today. What a blessing, okay? There's probably more new nutrition in the bag anyhow than there is the potato chips. But God's not like that. God presses it down together. You know, like sometimes when we have our trash cans are full or we're cleaning out the garage or something and, you know, trash day's coming. And so I've done it many times. I'll put the trash can by the car, get up on the bumper, jump in on the trash and jump up and down in it, trying to press it down so you can get more trash in it, right? That's what God says. I'm gonna give you an. It's just a way of God saying, look, I'm not cheating you. I'm not holding out on you. When you trust me with something that has such an emotional pull for somebody, you can bet I'm going to bless you. It's great blessing. Next, we gain a great joy. A great joy. Every spouse knows the joy they receive from giving gifts to the one they love. Every parent has the same feelings as they give something to their children. Don't we like to give, right? You're out somewhere. You should do this every now and then, husbands and parents. Now, my wife, grandparents, does all the time. But, you know, you're out somewhere and you see something like, oh, you know, my wife would like that. And you just get it for her. It's not her birthday. It's not, you know, this or that. It's just like, oh, I saw this. I know you like it. I was thinking of you. Same thing with the husband. You know, they appreciate that because you were thinking about them. But I guarantee you the one with more joy is the one who gives. Although there is blessing and joy in receiving gifts, and I'm not saying there isn't, the joy for the one who gives, yeah, much greater, way greater. I was, one time we were having stewardship month and I read some books on stewardship and I got a hold of this one little book and I don't remember what he said. I just remember the title and the illustration, and then you don't have to read the rest of the book because he's just reiterating what he just told you. It was called the Donut Principle. And he said, here's what he learned about giving. He said he was sitting there at home one day reading or something. His little three-year-old daughter came up, and she had a little plastic donut thing, you know, like the little toys the kids put the donuts on the thing. And he said, she decided to give me her little plastic donut. And she came up, and she said, you know, da-da or whatever, and gave it to him. And he said, and he noticed how she walked away, how happy she was. Not that she received anything, but that she was able to give something. Now, the rest of the book's worthless. That's all you needed to know. Okay? That's the truth. The joy comes when you give to somebody. And joy comes when we give to the Lord. Many of us enjoy being able to meet in our new building. Okay? I particularly enjoy the air conditioning. Okay, in the old building, the air conditioning kind of kept up with us, but it really did not. We had the windows open. Everybody's everywhere. You could never just keep there. So it's like, man, you got to turn that thing on. The first thing I would do when I woke up on Sunday mornings when it was summer is I pulled my phone out, like, you know, say, did you get your Bible? No, I got my phone. And I'm, is the air conditioner on? Okay, it's on. Because once you lost the air conditioner, it was done for the rest of the day. How many remember that? It's like, okay, well, we had some cold air. They open the windows now. Let's all sing Sha-na-na-na, goodbye. It's gone. Okay, I love the air conditioner. I love meeting in this building. I love that we're all together. I love that I don't have to be Superman to look through a wall to see that you're at the service that day. We're all inside. But I'll tell you what, as I think of the building and the blessing of being in there, the blessing that I've had over the years, and many of you have had, of investing to get us to this point. Amen. We see this building, we see our services, and like, I had a part in that. I got to help get our church to this point. That brings joy. Well, if giving gives us much more joy, the same is true in our giving to God. Look at Acts 20:35. We know the verse well. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. In other words, like we just said, the greater blessing is in giving than in receiving. And by the way, we all like receiving, right? Yeah. Well, we all should like giving better. And by the way, I'll leave that for another time. Next, we gain. I don't know why I said want to say grain. I just got back from the farm, so everything's farm animals. we gain a great love. It has been said that you cannot love without giving. That is true. But the greater principle is that our love grows in the area in which we give. And that we know that's true. When you're giving towards something, your emotional tie, your love, your heart, your grows. When we watch our missionaries, Brother Luis, thankfully, they do not have laws as to how many people you can put in a van. Okay, I know someone in this church many, many years ago, I won't say who it was, they one time had 48 people in a 15-passenger van. That was not smart. But I'll tell you, those that like those reports, those that give to missions, because that's your money. That's your investment. I know a lot of our guys, particularly our young single guys, and there's nothing wrong with it. They're investing a little bit of money in the stock market. A lot of them churn back and forth, but they like that. But I guarantee you, every day, it's like they're checking those stock prices, right? Did it go up today? Did it go down? Should I you know, go from Bitcoin to, what is it, whatever, some other disease? Should I invest in something else? Yeah, they're vested in it. When we're giving to something, we're invested in it. And our emotional attachment is going to go greater. If you were married, you know that when you courted your spouse, the more you invested and gave to your spouse, the deeper your love grew. In other words, you were starting to have that feeling, and because of that, you were giving to them, but yet the more you give, the more your heart was attached. That's just a natural part of our life. The greater our giving to God increases, the greater our capacity for love for God increases. The same is true for your church. Our heart follows our treasure. Now here we go, Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I didn't flip it. Now the flip side could be true too, right? Your heart's somewhere you give. I get all that. But really the greater principle is this: whatever you give to, your heart follows. Now we have this ridiculous philosophy of life that the world spreads, that follow your heart, okay? Well, yeah, follow your heart if you want to, I don't know, destroy your life. Yeah. You want to live a train wreck? Follow your heart. Your heart is deceitfully wicked and lies. It's not supposed to lead. It's supposed to be led. Yeah. And it's led by the Spirit of God. But I'll tell you one way we can lead it in the right direction. Where are you investing in? By the way, if you're not concerned about souls, you're not concerned about new people that come to church, I'll tell you why. You never go soul winning, you never go visiting, and you don't greet new people. Your heart's not there. You want to care more about people? Start talking to them. You want to care more about the gospel? Share it with somebody. Get out there and do it. The more you do it and invest your time in it, the more you're going to love it. We gain a great protection. The principle is that when we are faithful to give our tithes, that which we have left over goes farther. God always takes care of his obedient children. And again, understand I'm saying that with a disclaimer. It doesn't mean you're going to be rich. And by the way, if you're giving from God to get rich, probably not going to happen. You give to God because you love him and you want to be obedient to him, and then any blessing you get is icing on the cake. Look at Malachi. After he talks about the promise of giving, and putting him to the test, he says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." And so they were primarily agricultural and also livestock-driven society. That was their wealth. And so the first fruits, they would bring the first fruits of their crops. My father-in-law is a farmer. So if he was living in that society, what he would do is, after he takes his crop, 10% of it he would give to the Lord, the first 10%. And God says, you know what I'll do? I'll protect the rest of what you have left. He says, your crops aren't going to fail. You're not going to constantly be losing out. Now, it doesn't mean they didn't have bad years or stuff. Droughts came. But overall, God says, I'll take care of you. Don't worry about that other 90%. By the way, years ago, we had a guy, we had tithing testimonies. We had someone give up and give a real powerful testimony. And he said that He said that he decided one time, now this is his testimony, and this doesn't happen. This isn't like, you know, if you don't serve God, you're going to get hit by a semi-truck. I'm not saying that. This is just, God just taught him this lesson. He said, I was going to tithe for this 1 month, and I decided not to, and he goes, it was a certain amount of money. And I'm like, I'm not going to do it this month. He said a couple weeks later, something happened to his car. He took it to a mechanic, and guess how much it cost? He said the exact same amount that he didn't give. Now, I'm not saying if you get a flat tire in the parking lot, it's like, how much was that? Three, okay, then you must have made this much that month. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying God was teaching him a lesson. And by the way, he got it. Yep. Like, hey, you don't want to trust me? I mean, come on. That doesn't mean now your car's probably going to break down on the way home, okay? Get what I'm saying. But God takes care of us to a greater extent than he would have had we not given. See, we think if we don't give, we're going to be better off going forward. And God's trying to teach, no. If you do give, you'll be better off going forward. That's the principle. We gain a great contentment. Contentment. We won't spend a lot of time on this. Contentment is understanding that God has given us everything we need to be joyful. Everything. Everything. If a person that will not give, they're discontented. They always think they need a little bit more. And contentment has nothing to do with your bank account, has nothing to do with your social status in life. It's, are you content with where God has you at now? Because I know this, if you're content with wherever God has you at now, if things get better, you'll still be content. But if you're discontented now, you can make $100 billion more and you're still going to be discontented. Okay, so that's the problem with discontentment. Discontentment is always looking for more. If we are discontent with what we have now, we will be discontent even if we get more. I already said that. One of the benefits of giving is that we become content with what we have. The act of giving by its very nature helps us to develop contentment. And he tells us in Timothy, godliness with contentment's great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, we know that. You know, no kid was ever born with a credit card in their hand or a $10 bill, okay? They got nothing. And it is certain we will carry nothing out. You do get a box to rot in, and you get a nice suit. And having food and raiment, let us be content. He says, look, understand what it really means to be prosperous. You're godly and you're content. You're not taking anything with you because you didn't bring anything with you. Just be content with the basicness, not food and raiment, that's our clothing and our food, basic necessities of life, what you need to survive. Now, let's look at the attitudes of giving. The attitudes of giving. There are two basic ways we could give. First, we could give with the right attitude. Secondly, we can give with the wrong attitude. That's basic, duh. We don't want to give in the same way that a child does when he is forced to share his toys with another child, right? We've had it in our family. I'm sure you've had it in yours. You know, they give the toy because you make them, and they're crying as they give it. Okay, that means they don't want to give it. We want to be obedient in the area of giving, but we want to be obedient with the right kind of attitude. Not this, well, I have to. You know, it's funny. The teachers are very nice, and it hasn't happened in a while, but sometimes they'll have their school class, like, write me a card, like, thank you, Pastor, and they all write me notes, and they put it in there. And the younger classes, sometimes a child will write, my teacher told me to write you a card. So, you know, I'm like, okay, thank you. That just meant so much to me. That's how kids are. Okay. And we don't want to be like that. I'm doing this because, you know, I have to. No. We want to do it with the right. So here's some of the right attitudes. Give willingly. You know, our love for God should be enough motivation for us to willingly give what he asked of us. By the way, you know, we're not here to, like, grab you by your ankles, turn you upside down, and shake every penny out of you. Okay? We're not into that. Let's just be faithful in our giving, and let God work in our lives, in our finances. And by the way, I realize I can go back in my life from the day I started serving God. I'm very glad I gave. Yeah. Very glad I gave. And I don't regret it a bit. And I would be cheating you if I ignored that great portion of the Bible. My faith in God has grown because I've always been a giver. And just all these different things. And so I willingly do it. You know, most, 2 Corinthians 8:12, for there must first be a willing mind And it is accepted according to a man that a man hath, and not according to what he hath not. All throughout the Bible, willing. You look when they were building the tabernacle in the wilderness, willing. Everybody was willing to just do it, okay? Next, give joyously. We already talked about joy. And as we give with the heart of love for our God, we cannot help but give joyfully. Like the guy in the donut principle, his whole thing was, my little three-year-old daughter was happy because she got to give something to her dad. That was the principle. Yeah. Look at the verse here. By the way, this is very, very misinterpreted. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I've heard people say, listen, you don't have to give if you don't want to. If you think it's grudgingly or whatever and you're not joyful, God doesn't want you to give. Baloney. God's telling us we're supposed to do it. He said it throughout the Bible. He's saying, do it with the right spirit. So let's apply that principle. The biblical principle is you're to give. That's a command of God. That's a principle of God's word. So just because we're not joyful or we feel grudgingly, we're not supposed to do it? No, God's trying to change our attitude. So what if I don't feel that way about adultery? To live a holy life, I don't want to do it. I'm grudgingly and it doesn't make me happy. Well, then you don't have to. Are we going to apply that to the, is that how we're going to apply it to the Bible?
No.
These people say that because they just don't want to give. Don't give, but don't excuse yourself for not giving. Just say, I don't want to give. Just like I'll say, I don't want to obey the Bible. Okay, so let's think. God's trying to say, look, that's why God talks about it. Because if we understand it, we'll do it joyfully.
Yeah.
Give expectantly. Expectantly. As we have seen, giving brings blessing. Giving is like the principle of sowing and reaping. The more you sow, the more you reap. The less you sow, the less you reap. We should give expectantly, expecting God to bless our gift. When we have that spirit, we will want to give. He says, 2 Corinthians 9, but this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. By the way, when you give to this church, yes, you're giving to the ministry. Yes, you're giving so that the needs of the church will be met. Yes, if you gave to the building, you're giving so the building can be done. But no, you didn't give to the church.
Come on.
Hopefully you gave to the Lord.
Yep.
I didn't just give to build a building because I might as well go down and help them build a building, some Habitat for Humanity. I'm not preaching against Habitat for Humanity. I give because this is what the Lord wants, and I want to be in on what God wants, and I'm giving to Him. Okay? I think we just had our CPA. We do it every year. Our books are clean. We have our CPA. They go through everything. It's part of our loan, but we do it anyhow. So there's no fudging with the books or any of that stuff. But let's just say there was. There isn't. Okay. I give to the Lord anyhow.
Yeah.
He'll deal with it. Now we're gonna be accountable to you for the money,
yep.
Okay. And by the way, my Wednesday devotions is the balance sheet. It's not my devotions, but I get the balance sheet every single week, and I look where every penny is in the budget, and I look at it. Hey, was there any changes here? What's going on? Because I want to be right with our money. You gave the money in good faith, and I want to make sure we're using it right.
Yes, sir.
Now the staff guys, they want to spend it for everything, but not me. Just kidding. Kind of. Give thankfully. When we truly understand how much we have received from God, it will cause us to be thankful. We can give thankfully to God as a way of acknowledging His blessing in our life. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Come on. How could we not be thankful to God? Because we just don't think it through. Seriously, if all we had, and it's like it's a small thing, right? If all we had was our salvation, no, that's it. That's everything.
Yeah.
But if salvation was all there was, that's still over the top more than I deserve.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and by the way, we have to fight it. You know, we do. Because we have so much in this country, and it's so easy to complain.
Yeah.
It's like, man, my air conditioner went out. I'm so persecuted. I mean, the toilet overflowed. What is going on here? How am I going to live? Our other house, the other house we had, they had the two bathrooms back to back, and then the sinks and the bath and the shower. And if the drain went out, that was everything. Both restrooms, both showers, both sinks. And so, you know, there's people in the backyard in the middle of the night. It was not good. Okay? It's like, how do you expect us to serve God like this? Okay? It's like, really? You have indoor plumbing. Are you with me? All right. Maybe I shouldn't have said it like that, but don't look at me like that. You've had issues too. Give obediently. God has given us a lot of promises associated with giving. Giving is beneficial to us personally, but that should not be the main focus of our giving. It's not. Our giving should be motivated first and foremost by a desire to be obedient to our God. It's kind of like soul winning. So are you only going to go out soul winning when someone gets saved? Or are you knocking a door and somebody says, I'll be there to church the next day? See, that, well, I went out and I didn't get to, no one got saved and I just knocked on my block. Years ago, I did a survey of people. I asked the people in our church, how did you hear about our church? Why did you come? More than half of them were never talked to. They said they got an invitation on their door. Those were the doors we knocked on and they weren't home. Okay? And by the way, people surprised, I was at the old church one time and hey, a visitor like, hey, how'd you hear about our church? You invited us. I didn't know that. I just gave someone a track and they were clueless and they didn't say anything and they showed up to church. So only when we see results are we going to do something? No. God asked us to go soul winning. And if people get saved, that's because the Lord draws them because of our efforts. And we're successful, by the way, whether or not they get saved. Yeah. Obedience to God is birthed by a love for God. If you love me, keep my commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. I don't understand how we can love somebody and not want to do things for them. Come on. Right? And, you know, I'm kind of a psycho when it comes to our finances. Like, hey, don't waste money. You know, the dogs... I was at the farm, and my mother-in-law, to save money, fed her cat dog food. And the cat dug it. She's like, that's great. Okay, I'm like, why can't we do that? Well, it's not my cat. I could care less. I was like, let's not waste money, but if it's for somebody, I don't mind doing things for somebody. Okay, that type of thing. For the love of God is that we keep his commandments. And we've read that verse. Give abundantly. Some people ask, how little can I do and get away with it? You ever know? Well, what's wrong with that? Okay, and I'm not trying to get you to do something that's not scriptural. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes there are things that there is something wrong with that, and we ask that anyhow. You know why? Because the attitude is, what little can I do? You know, by the way, I'm under grace. Well, you might want to get on top of grace, okay? But a Christian who understands the Lord has an attitude of how much can I do for God. And look, I'm not trying to get you to serve in the ministry 24 hours a day and give every penny in your bank account. I'm not. But I'm also telling you, don't be tight with God when it comes to giving to him, regardless of what it is. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. We ought to be willing to give. I heard a story. One day a wife got a phone call and it said, your husband just inherited $1 million. Somebody in his family he didn't know died and he's got $1 million. So the wife's like, man, the doctor just said that any sudden shock could kill my husband. He has a weak heart. So she called the pastor over and she said, Pastor, can you tell my husband that he inherited $1 million, but you got to be very careful. He's got this weak heart. He could die. He goes, I got this. I know what to do. The pastor went up. He said, Tom, have you ever thought, what would you do if you ever got, like, say, $1 million? What would you do? And he said, I'd give half to the church. The pastor had a heart attack. Now, by the way, it's always easy to give money you don't have, right? First and foremost, we want to give out of obedience. That's a key. Just because we struggle with the right spirit does not absolve us of the responsibility to grow. When we understand the principle of giving, now listen, we will be able to give with the right attitude. I used this story years ago, but W.A. Criswell, an old-time, he's dead now, an old-time pastor in Texas, he said he had, and this is back when this was a lot of money, he said a man in his church came to him and said, "Pastor, I have a problem." He said, "You know, when I was making," he was a guy that was prosperous in his business. He goes, "When I was making $50 a week, it was easy to give God five." Now, that's back when 50 was like a full-time salary. Yeah. He goes, "But as God blessed my business, now I'm making 500 a week, and it was tough to give 50. He goes, "Now I'm making 5,000 a week, and I just cannot give 500 a week. I just can't do it. Pastor, will you help me?" Criswell said, "Yeah, let's pray about that." He said, "Bow your head." He said, "Father, I pray that you would reduce this man's income to the point where he can tithe. Amen." Now, what was he trying to get the point? The point is, give, brother, okay? Now, let me give you a conclusion. As a steward of all that God gives to us, one of the greatest responsibilities is to obey him in giving. And the first giving is a tithe. Now, I would encourage you as you grow, because again, as we grow in grace, we grow in many areas. Giving should be one of those. Not again, we're not trying to get all your money, but as you invest and it's obedience, but then you're giving and you see God using it, you want to get involved in other areas. But over and above the tithes, there are other offerings that we can be involved with. Our missions program. We'll have our missions revival next month with Brother Board. We're going to renew our faith promise, okay? That's giving to missionaries around the world. We took on last year, I don't know, I think we recently took some on even in between of our nationals on the field so that they can do missions work. Our building program, we're not done yet. If for some reason you didn't get in on that, I encourage you to get in on that. The bus ministry. Now, we don't push this, but our family, I always have a certain amount. We never had a commitment Sunday or what that. We take a Wednesday offering, but I have a certain amount. First Sunday every month, I give to the bus ministry. Why? I want to be involved in it, okay? And so you can get involved. Giving isn't just helping to finance the ministries of your local church. It's also about individual Christians learning to trust God and to provide for the needs in their life. You know, I find it interesting that we'll pray and ask for God to work in so many areas of our life, right? We never pray and ask God to work in our finances. And you know why we don't do that? Not to end on a negative, but let's just be realistic here. The reason we don't do that, because if God's going to work in our finances, it's a requirement that we first be givers. Okay, someone comes in and says, "I'm having financial trouble, I'm trying to get out of a hole." There's a little system I learned and you can put into practice and try to shave it off and get back to where you're supposed to be. But the first thing I say is, if you don't tithe, it won't work. Yeah. So you, especially when you're having problems, you need God's help in your, you do practical things, but also get God on your team. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for loving us and we thank you for this area. And Lord, I guess of all the Christian graces, of all the Christian things that we do for you, this one is probably the one that people have the hardest with. And yet it's the one that can yield the biggest blessing in their life, and not just their life, in the lives of people who can be helped around the world. And I pray you'd help us just to simply trust you. If we're struggling, Lord, help us to work it out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.